Today on Real Radio.
If your waist is not girded with truth, you'll have no appetite for biblical truth. If your waist is not girded with truth, you'll have no real passion to reach the lost. If your waist is not girded with truth, you'll be unable to discern, or you'll be gullible.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We're in its final chapter, chapter 6, and in a series within a series called The Christian Incomplete Armor. Our focus is verses 10 through 20. This is where the author uses metaphors of military garments and equipment in describing how we are to fight the spiritual warfare into which every believer has been recruited. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Wrapped in Truth.
If you and I are weak in this area where you don't know, I don't know the truth, you know what's going to happen to us? We're going to be sucked away with someone who knocks on our door. You know what? You know, the Jehovah Witnesses boast that they have more converts from Christianity than any other denomination or from any other religion. But when you probe into their records, they actually will tell you that they have more Catholics converted to the Jehovah Witness cult than any other people. More Catholics. That's what they say. That's what they publish. That's what they'll tell you. And one of the reasons is why there's not a deep study encouraged regarding the word of truth. The Bible tells us that we need to rightly divide the word of truth. Do we even know where to begin? This is such a passionate thing. The word of truth. We need to be absolutely rest assured in the fact that he has given it to us. The Bible, what do you do with this book? What do I do with it? Are we taking it in? Are we putting it into action? Sometimes, and I'm sure you're just like me, when I read my Bible, sometimes I just kind of get fed up with just, I read a whole chapter. And it's like, what did I just read? Have you ever done that, or is it just me? It's just me. Okay, then I'll read the chapter, and it's like, what did I just learn? I'm convinced of this thing. Honestly, I must. The Bible commands us. I will read my Bible, and I will grow reading it, and we are to read it. But I am convinced that if I take one verse and make it a verse for the month or for the year and pray about that verse and focus on that one verse, by me doing it, you would be better off. I would treat you better. I think I would put it into action more wholeheartedly if I took one verse and applied it with all my might than reading an entire chapter and letting it just blow by in my mind. Do you know what I'm talking about? How much reading we do in a year. And I feel so defeated with how little progress I make. The truth has been given. Am I applying the truth to where I work, to where I play, to what we do? We need to be prepared to give away the truth. Well, we can't give it away unless we've taken it in. Second point, we need to be prepared to be giving away the truth. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, that reproductive power. There's only one way that this church will grow, and that is not with seminars and not with these church growth programs we get in the mail all the time. Send us $8,000 and we'll have your church grow by 10%. Guaranteed, money back. Can you, I don't know, who actually responds to this kind of mail? There's only one way a church grows, and that's when someone's blessed by the Word of God, and then they go and tell somebody else. And they say, well, you know, maybe I'll come. And they want to come, and they walk in here, and they sit down, and the first thing they notice is that everybody's got Bibles. Oh boy, am I in a room with a bunch of fanatics? But they sit down. And then the worship begins, and they see you raising your hands or singing, and they see you're excited, that you're really in love with Jesus. And it kind of drives them nuts. But then they see, they're convinced that you're for real. And then as time goes on, the study goes on. Somebody told me this last Sunday. Literally, I was walking out this door over here, and this person said, were you dogging me all week? And I said, what? They said, were you watching me all week? And I said, I just wasn't getting it. I was tired and disconnected. And I said, what? And they said, everything you talked about is exactly what happened in my life last week. And I was wondering why. And this really ministered to me. And you know how cool it is? You know, as a pastor, I'm supposed to just go, praise the Lord, you know, and hallelujah. Inside, I mean, that's the look on my face. Oh, praise the Lord. Inside, I'm going, God, you're awesome. Oh, man, Lord. It happens all the time. That's when the Spirit's moving. And somebody will come. You'll invite somebody. They'll sit down. Something will be said. It might offend everybody else in the room, but that person is exactly what they wanted to hear, what they needed to hear, what they had to hear. And it's like, oh man. And they're hooked. Jesus is speaking to me. They want to ask the question, what happened? How is it? Hey, it's the Word of God. That's what so many churches have missed. When you do topical or pseudo-topical or whatever you want to call it, sermonettes as they put it for Christianettes, you know, little fluff and stuff. It's like, oh, that was cute. That was a cute message. And he made us laugh. But, I mean, what is it? What's going on? Will it be able to help you be girded up around the productive part of the Christian's life? And to be able to actually affect someone else's life for Christ. Let me ask you and let me ask myself. May the Spirit be talking to us right now. In our lives privately, are we bearing the fruit of the fact that our loins have been girded about with truth? If we have truth in our lives, we will reproduce other believers in our lives and through our lives, or we will be an encouragement to the household of faith. Somehow we will be fruitful, productive Christians. We are to be prepared to be giving the truth away, to be girded. Satan, the demon powers, are against the truth. They want to attack it, pollute it, twist it, and infiltrate it. Paul the Apostle warned us that in the book of Acts, as he neared the end of his ministry, he was talking about how in the end, he said, I have given everything I could concerning the full counsel of God to all of you, and there is no blood on my hands concerning you guys. They're on the beach. It was an amazing scene. They're all together, and Paul's leaving, and it says they're very emotional. They fell down on his neck, and they kissed him, knowing that they would not see him again. And Paul said, listen, my hands are clean from blood, from the blood of all men. I have been very careful to give you the full counsel of God. You know what? That's not being said anymore, the full counsel of God. The full counsel of God is salvation by grace alone, not by works. That God judges sin, that man is fallen, and he needs the Redeemer. That heaven is wonderful and hell is hot. That there's a Satan who's out against our souls, and there's trickery, there's lying, and there's deceit. There's tribulation, there's difficulty in the Christian life. Nobody wants to preach it, nobody wants to say it. Paul said, I gave the full counsel. Why? Because it is truth. And he wanted them to be strong against the powers of the enemy, because Paul said that the enemy would infiltrate through lies. He says, even among your own selves, there will be people rise up within the church who will lead people away with deceptive words. We're to be given away the truth, yes. We're to be productive regarding the truth. We've been given the truth. But listen, you've heard this quote before. I quote it a lot because I like it. I think it's so true, painfully true, sad to say. But Mark Twain said that the truth just gets its shoes on before a lie has made it around the world two times. You know, a lie gets up and goes, and the truth is just sitting there putting his shoes on like a turtle, and it doesn't hardly get a chance to get out there to go anywhere before a lie runs around the world two times. Isn't that true? Man, you know, if somebody's got some good news over here, it's so sad, but the good news, you know, I keep looking over here because there's so many over here. I'm just thinking concerning like a lie. Let's say a lie started on this side, seeing there's more of you to lie on this side. That, you know, this little thing about swimming in somebody's swimming pool? You know, you tell kids this stuff. You know what I'm saying? Do I have to say it? Now make sure you go to the bathroom, Johnny, because if you go in the pool, there'll be this big fluorescent green ring around you, and it'd be pointing like an arrow. If somebody was to tell a lie, you would see this green cloud come flowing out from this end of the sanctuary, you see. Not this end, but this end. And go this way. And it would go quick. But if somebody told the truth, it would go so much slower. It's just the nature of the world and how the fallen nature is. And know that when somebody says a falsehood, when somebody says a lie, Satan will take it and he'll propel it and he'll drive it. You know this in your own personal relationships, don't you? You'll say something that's true. Somebody will say something that's false about the same situation. And all the judges in the community can say, yep, this was the way it happened. And yet that one person who has a falsehood will find more ears to deposit that lie in than everybody who has the truth. Have you noticed that? Have you seen how that happens? It's a very sad thing. It's very sad when somebody hears something in that type of an environment and they never go to the source to find out if it's true. They'll just believe it. We need to be careful. Satan wants to undermine the truth with lies. We are to be girded, pulled up tight all around. The word means to be fastened with the belt. By the way, listen to this word. I found this extremely interesting. Luke chapter 12, verse 35. Jesus says, let your waist be girded with your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, that that they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Now listen to this. Assuredly I say to you that he, that's the master, will gird himself and have them to sit down and eat, and will come and serve them. Now listen to this. You are waiting, if you know your Bible, you've been waiting for me to say that the Roman guard is what Paul has in his mind. Remember, he's strapped to a Roman guard, and he is looking at this soldier, and he's going to talk about all of his armaments. But it is true, yes, it is true, that the first thing that the soldier puts on is his girdle, his belt. It is the first thing before everything else comes on. But you know what? The word that's used here is not the word. It's not that word. It's to be girded for service. I find this very interesting because we're talking about Christian armor. The Christian in his armor for the soldier to do his job, one of the very main things is to be of the heart, to be girded for service. Do we serve? Are we serving? Are you? Don't answer. You talk to God about it. But wherever you go to church on a regular basis, are you serving in some sort of ministry there? God knows they need you. If it's this church or another church, are you serving? Well, I don't know if I'm ready. Listen, I got news for you. You'll never be ready. I'll never be ready. Because when you say you'll never be ready, and when I say I'm never going to be ready, it's to my judgment or to your judgment. God says, I tell you what, you're called, and I equip the called. I don't call the equipped. I look for people who need to be equipped, and I equip them. I call them, and I equip them. And that's who I want to use. So the question you and I have to ask ourselves right now is, what am I doing in the church that I attend? You don't have to do anything. But as a believer, we ought to be girded up with truth, and we are to be girded in a way that we serve one another. It's very important. And this same word is found in Luke chapter 12, verse 35. In John 13, verse 3, Jesus, it says there, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Now that is, he took this belt and wrapped it around him in such a way that he was able to wash all of their feet and do all of the ministry that he did in a way that he was not encumbered. And that's the very same word. We are to be serving like this. We're here for battle, but we are to be ministering in battle. The third point, we're to be personally involved in the truth. He says, stand therefore having girded your waist with truth. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, listen, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Listen, we are personally to be involved in the truth because you know what? Satan came to Eve. I don't know where Adam was, but Eve was alone. And the serpent, if you read your Bible carefully, I'll just throw this out there and let you stay up all night to figure this one out. The serpent walked up to her. Go figure that one out. The serpent walked up to her and said, I don't know about you, but the first thing I get out of this is stay away from talking snakes. This is weird stuff, man. You know, does that mean like, you know, a platypus walking by, it could talk too? This is weird. Why did Eve go, a talking snake? Why didn't she do that? This is for something, I mean, this drives me wild. But, you know, that's weird. And what did he say? What did Satan say through the serpent? He always looks for a tool, you know. He said, has God really said? Casting doubt, challenging the word of God, the truth of God. Has God really said? Have you been given a promise in the Bible? You, personally? Are you hanging on to a promise? Do you believe that when you die, you're going to go to heaven? You really believe it? Satan will come and his little goobers will come and whisper in your ear and say, hath Jesus really said? Don't think that you're immune to this. I love reading Charles Spurgeon and about his life. Charles Spurgeon often fought temptations of great such heavy depression and depressive states that Spurgeon says in his own writings that he often thought of suicide. The enemy would bring him to such a point. We don't like to think about that. I mean, he's the hero of preachers. He's it. 19 years old and his messages are being published worldwide, preaching to a church of 7,000 people. Probably the greatest orator that's ever lived. And he mentions how many times the enemy would sow seeds of doubt in his mind. Hath God really said that if you just trust in Jesus, you're going to go to heaven? Listen, friend, you'll sink if you're not girded about with truth. You'll sink. Of course I can't. I'm going to ask this question, but you would never respond to this, even though we should be able to have the atmosphere to do it. That being the case where we would sink if we were not connected to the truth, truth keeping us afloat, truth keeping us productive, truth keeping us safe. And if we're subject to doubt, and we are, who in here has no friends? Who in here has no Christian friends? Where you can say, you know what? I'm doubting, man. I need some help. I need prayer. If you don't have a friend like that, I don't know what to say. Pray that God would raise up to you a friend that you can lean on. Do you have anybody in this Christian life that you can lean on? I mean, really, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, lean. You've got to have someone like that. We all do. You're not a Paul Simon. Remember what Paul Simon said? I am an island and I'm a rock. And a rock feels no pain. What a dope. That was this. That absolutely, everybody hurts. Everybody needs strength. And there's times when you and I are sinking. And you and I have to have a friend that picks us up. Even being so connected to the truth. Do you have that person? Or do you have those friends? I jotted a few things down. I want to read them just as they are. If your waist is not girded with truth, you'll have no appetite for biblical truth. If your waist is not girded with truth, you'll have no real passion to reach the lost. If your waist is not girded with truth, you'll be unable to discern, or you'll be gullible.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Wrapped in Truth, part of a mini-series taken from Ephesians 6 called The Christian Incomplete Armor, and we'll continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Remember, our task here at Real Radio is to equip you with all that is necessary for your growth as a true believer, which is precisely why we offer a variety of outreaches, missions, and means of equipping, like the recent Southern California Prophecy Conference here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. If you were here for the conference, you know that it was beyond standing room only much of the time. If you were not here, visit us at realradioactive.org and learn how to get the media and print materials from the event, the Southern California Prophecy Conference, subtitled Finding Hope in the Global Crisis. Again, realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.